Michael, and we live, United Public Radio Network. We're going to talk about guns, man. And we're going to talk about Trump and whores and drugs and Russians and all that juicy stuff you want to hear, which is why you tune in to anybody's show these days. It seems like, man, it seems like CNN is like a porn channel. You know, they've got a soft porn music in the background, and they're doing their little porn thing. And I was reading an article on how CNN is piped into all these airports all over the country, you know? And that's kind of their go-to channel. You go into an airport, there's TV on, you got CNN on. Now, all these airports are deciding whether to get rid of CNN, because it used to be just like, you know, basically news, you know, and then it morphed over the years, but now it's agenda-based. They have constant, you know, rants how much they hate Trump and whatever, and these airports don't think it's good for people to hear that stuff, and the people are angry about it. A lot of people complain. They say, hey, you know, they don't want their kids hearing that stuff. They don't want to hear that stuff. So for all the people out there that think of that division between people who support Trump, or, you know, more in general, take Trump out of it, people who support the United States of America and the president of the United States of America, you know, I think that a very small fringe of outspoken radicals have taken that center stage. And then you have this agenda-based media pushing that on people like a drug, pushing up. And then they scare you, they threaten you. And that's going to be the essence of tonight's sermon. Scaring people to death, scaring people, you know. So fear is the mind killer. If you allow fear to take over your life, you're never going to do anything. You're never going to do anything positive, nothing. So there's people out there that will make you afraid of everything, and they're going to play on your fears. You know, back in the day when I was learning PsyOps, it was about using people's emotions and, you know, to manipulate them, and using people's emotions against them. You know, in martial arts, we take the energy someone throws at us, and we move it, and we shape it, and we move it over, do whatever we want to do with it, you know? I mean, like, when you live on that level, you kind of are in harmony with all things, you know? It's actually, the Chinese term is gong ho. Gong ho means working harmony, something that you can automatically melt with, blend with, move around with, take that energy. And then, you know, the more supple you are, the more yielding you are, the more you're going to be able to bend around that energy and still come out victorious, right? So fear, same thing. It's an emotion. And then when someone takes your fear, let's say, you know, you're Bob Jones who lives down the block, and, you know, you don't like water, but I'm going to invite you on my boat, you know? Automatically, it puts you in a zone of defense, and oh, I don't know, and a boat and whatever, and water. And it's kind of like people have a fear of heights, or people have a fear of speaking in front of others. You know, that's a big one, of just getting up in front of your class at school or your work group at work or whatever the case. You know, just getting up and speaking in front of people, right? A lot of people don't like to do it, man. And I'm a huge ham. People ask me all my life, you know, how do I do this? And how do I do that? Get up in front of people? Because I have confidence in what I'm saying. You know, I have confidence in what I'm saying because my ego is that big. I guess if I didn't have one, I mean, we all have some kind of ego. And the lesser of an ego you have, I mean, ego can be a bad thing too, right? But it's also be a good thing. And if you don't have an ego, you don't have that confidence, you know, you're going to have those fears. And people can play on those fears, you know? All right. Let me skip over to gun control. All right. When it comes to fear, fear writes policy, all right? You saw it during the Kennedy administration with Cuba. It was more important to have Cuba be our adversary than our friend. It was more important for that reason, because the people in charge were able to write a lot of military policy. A lot of money changed hands. And you got to follow the money. I say that all the time. Whenever you're looking at a situation, follow the money. You don't have to listen to somebody whether to know they're telling the truth or not and have to think to yourself, is this person being truthful? Is this government agency being truthful? Is this corporation being truthful? Follow the money. You'll find the truth. You'll find the reason for being. So with Cuba, with missiles down there, getting together with Russia, we wrote a ton of policy. And that policy turned into billions of dollars, which went into people's pockets. And politicians became more powerful. Laws were changed. People's rights got infringed upon because they're able, when you're afraid, you're going to give up a lot of your rights. All right? Look at 9/11. Perfect case and example. 9/11, the fear that came off of 9/11, the policy, like the Patriot Act, which came off of 9/11, you know? It used to be they could only hold you in jail 48 hours if you were suspected of a crime without charging you. Under the Patriot Act, depending on how you charge somebody or what you call them, if you're an enemy combatant or something like that, they can hold you up to 1,000 days. 1,000 days without charging you. Years. They could put you in there for years without charging you. We lost a lot of our liberty from the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was drawn up many months before 9/11. And it was originally drafted from a Nazi document. The Republicans who put it together admitted that. They took elements of a Nazi document to make the Patriot Act. So, but people, and now, all right, the aftermath of 9/11, they gave Congress a couple of days to sign the Patriot Act. This document was well over 1,000 pages, I think over 2,000 pages at the end of the day. Nobody in Congress read it. No one. No one at that time, nobody read it. But they signed away anyway. And it also had sunset provisions that Barack Obama said that when the sunset provision came up, he was going to let it go. He never did. They kept it in place because it's about power and control. And this is about agenda-based people. There's a movement going on. There's a lot of them, as a matter of fact. These are agenda-based movements. It's not about one person. It's not about a group. It's not about a bunch of people. It is a machine unto itself. And then that machine uses people at times to push that agenda, uses them as examples, uses them as robots. Doesn't matter. But you can see this in our world in many different instances, okay? So, gun control. You want to scare people. You got a couple of people who are mentally ill, willfully ignored. People who threatened, people who had weapons, people who said they were going to go do terrible things. Oh, they did. They certainly did. And they all broke the law, right? Obviously, they didn't care about the laws. If they don't care about the laws, you can make all the laws you want. They're still going to break the law because they don't care about the laws. But out of all these shooters, let me tell you about waiting periods and, you know, all the fire hoops that an honest person has to go through. I'll talk about my own state, New York State, because I know other states is very easy to get guns. New York, easy, not so easy. And handgun, very difficult, right? All right. Now, in New York State, there's a waiting period of a couple of days, I think 3 days, and background check, of course, all that. There's picky uni laws like you're only allowed to have magazines that hold 10 rounds and nothing more, all that stuff. Now, I agree with most of that stuff. I don't agree with the magazine thing, but I think if someone's going to commit a crime, they're going to go get a larger magazine. I think it's that simple. But out of all these shooters, out of the guy in Florida, the one in Vegas, the, you know, Columbine, that all, I mean, all these shootings over the years, right? They all have one thing in common. They were all on some kind of psychotropic drug to control some kind of mental condition, whether it be depression or whatever. Probably the hardest person that you could have picked out would be the Vegas shooter, because that guy didn't have a lot of red flags that people close to him could have chosen. You know, it wasn't like the shooter in Florida, this guy Cruz, he threatened the school. He threatened people. He was always in trouble with the law. He had a mental condition. He had so many issues and problems, all of it ignored by Department of Social Services, by, you know, Family Services, by the Sheriff's Department. You know, I mean, every level of failure, the school, all that. The kid was turned in by a lot of people, turned into the FBI. Nobody did anything. He had guns. Everybody knew it. Nobody did anything to stop him. Okay. You saw the result of that. But he planned on doing that. The Vegas shooter planned on doing what he did. Some of these people planned for months. Some planned for a couple of years that they were going to do these things. It wasn't just some, hey, I'm going to go grab this gun. All right, I'm mad right now, so I'm going to go into a hard, you know, a hunting store, a gun store, sporting goods store, and buy a gun to go shoot somebody. Those things don't really happen, you know? So it's like the laws of New York on the weapon itself. If you have an AR-15, you are not allowed, or any gun, right? You're not allowed to have a pistol grip. Unless it was grandfathered in. If it was grandfathered in, you had to go register it, which I don't have a problem with. But you're not allowed to have a pistol grip. You're not allowed to have a muzzle on the gun, like anything that could, basically nothing to spruce up it, to decorate it, right? It's kind of silly. You know, the laws they made are useless laws. You know, I have a New York certified AR-15. I like the stock better than a pistol grip stock, honestly. You know, what they're banning, I consider it improvements. The gun is fully functional, operates the same as any other AR would. So when you make laws, you know, there's two kinds of laws, right? There's laws that are made to actually help people. There's laws that are made that don't, you know, pistol grip or not, it doesn't matter. And if you're going to present to me a case or something that I need to sink my teeth into as an investigator, and I can really get into it, a preventive crime, you know, something like that, I'm not going to look at the gun to prevent the crime. I'm going to look at the people who would be the perpetrators, and I'm going to look at the target of the crime and how to better protect that target and how to stop those people. You know, you're not going to take all the guns away from anybody or everybody. There's still going to be guns around. And then if you ban guns, you're only banning guns from honest people who aren't going to commit the crimes to begin with because they're honest people. You're going to take the guns and you want to take them out of the hands of mentally ill. Yeah, sure. But you don't want to restrict honest people because they're not your enemy. In fact, they're the ones who are likely to come and help you with a gun. Now, we can go into news stories from the past year. There's a lot of those stories of people that, you know, people that basically either protected other people or protected themselves with a gun. Women, men, youngsters, people who are 12, 11, 12, 13, right? All that. But there's a machine out there that wants to disarm people. The machine only cares about disarming this country. When a liberal mocks you and laughs at you when you say that, they don't get it. They're just part of that machine. They're part of it. Even Bernie Sanders, a huge liberal, wasn't going to ban all the guns. You know, and he comes from a state of Vermont where people like their guns. And there's a lot of liberals out there that love their guns. I have friends who are liberal who love their guns. And we can all agree on certain things when it comes to gun control. It's not a closed door, you know, but the machine wants to take those guns away. The machine wants a society that's not armed. During World War II, there were people in Japan that knew if they invaded the United States, there was going to be a gun behind every door. That you can't just go into a place and take it over if people are heavily armed. So protecting yourself, and not just from some kind of foreign enemy, I'm saying from, you know, the meth head down the block who decides he's going to rob you and come into your house. You know, I live in a nice neighborhood, and down the block, the house on the corner, they were robbed a couple of years ago. They left their garage door open, right? Like, you know, like not the big garage door, but a door that goes into their garage. That door was open. They go into the garage, and they had a little pegboard with keys on it for their cars. So right away, they have access to the garage, they have access to keys, access to the cars. Lo and behold, one of those keys had a house key on it. They opened up the inside garage door. They went inside the house while a family of four was sleeping. Mother, father, two kids. Sleeping, right? These thieves walked through the house. They took laptop. They went through the pocketbook of the mom, took her wallet, took money, whatever. They snuck into the bedroom where people were sleeping, took some jewelry. Sneaky, quiet. Now let me ask you, what would happen if those people woke up and caught those people in their house? You think they would just run out of there? Or do you think that they would fight and they're ready? They're ready to fight. They're ready to do anything they need to do to you because they don't love you. You get that? These criminals out there don't love you. They don't care about you. They don't care if you live or die. They don't care if you die horribly. Some of them would like to torture you and watch you die. So there's an entity out there that's not all hunky-dory. There's an entity out there that's definitely dangerous and something you need to watch out for. But if you listen to liberals, they're like, hey, man, you know, it's peace and love or whatever. Peace and love? Really? Is that what it is? Because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that yet. I know there's love. I know there's peace sometimes. But we don't live in some utopian society where everybody's chill with each other and everything's fine. I grew up in a city. I grew up in the real world. I grew up in a world where you could easily get victimized by anybody and anybody at any time. So you got to be aware. So having that gun's an important thing. Now, I'm going to share a story with one of my friends, right? She lives down south. Very beautiful woman. A little affluent. Definitely affluent. She got some bucks. Nice car. The whole bit. Nice house. Nice family. Owns a large business through her family. Family-run business. So she had pulled out of a parking lot after she was shopping and then pulled in front of a guy. He started honking his horn, going crazy. Pulls up next to her, starts threatening her. Yelling, screaming, doing all that. And then she, like, freaked out. You know, this guy's cursing her, calling her every female derogatory term you can think of, whole bunch of other things. So she gets on the phone and calls 911, which is what you're supposed to do. But she drove back to her house, which is what you're not supposed to do if someone's following you. So she goes back to her house, pulls in her driveway, a commercial farm, big long driveway. Going down the driveway, this guy pulls in and follows her down the driveway. Now she's like totally freaked out. She gets out of her car. The guy gets out of his truck, starts yelling, screaming at her. You know, you're this, you're that, whatever, and making threats. Guess what? She's got a pistol in her purse. She pulls it out. She shows the guy the pistol. It says, I will shoot you if you don't get off my property. Her kid was in the house. Her family was there. And she's, in her mind, protecting her family the whole bit. Some maniac. Some guy with a road rage going on. So then she, like, the guy starts walking away all scared, and she busts a shot in the air. Boom! And then the guy, like, scared, takes off. And 3 seconds later, the sheriff's show up, sheriff deputy. And then they chase down the guy and get him. But the thing is, the moral of the story is, number one, if you feel threatened in traffic, drive to a police station or a fire station or anything like that. That's what I tell everybody all the time. Or a place where there's a lot of people. But just because there's a lot of people in a certain place doesn't mean they're going to help you. I wouldn't drive to a Walmart, for instance. You know, you might be able to find help at a Walmart, but maybe not. You might find a bunch of people that are looking to videotape you while you're getting abused, right? It's like that. But definitely fire station, police station number one. You know, or you just drive around and then coordinate with 911 because they're pretty tight on. If you call 911, they're going to walk you through and that police officer will come find you. But number two, she had a gun. She had a pistol. And she has no problem using it because that's how she grew up. And it wasn't everybody's out down there in South Carolina or Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, and those places. You know, you don't see people whipping out guns, shooting each other all the time. Criminals, gangs, stuff like that with illegal guns. But there are places where people carry guns. Those places have very low crime rates. The places with the highest crime rates are the places that have the toughest gun laws. New York City, Chicago, Camden, New Jersey. Look at these crap holes. And then you can't get a handgun legally there. It's very hard anyway. Criminals can get one. They buy one the same day. No waiting period, no nothing. This girl pulled out that thing, showed that guy, said, I will shoot you. Fired a shot here. So imagine if she didn't have that gun. You know? Anything could have happened. The guy's crazy enough to follow her back, call her names, you know, have arms flailing around. Where I come from, you do something like that, you're not going to leave standing. You know what I mean? Like, you chase someone down, most likely that person's going to jump out, and they're going to put their foot up your ass. You know? That was men back in the day. What these young males are, I'm not going to call them men, because they're not. These young males are more feminine than the females that I've known in my life. You know, I don't get what's going on out there. I really don't. And why it's being encouraged. But there are groups where men are men and masculinity is supported through the community because it's important to have that, you know? But then here in the United States, I don't know what the hell's going on. And why attack against men is being just pushed on our society. And then these young males, they act like they're females. It's crazy. So, but there are groups, look at Muslims, you know, they don't play around like that. You know what I mean? And the men are even overly masculine. You know, and the women are oppressed. So, but when you have groups like that rising to power with the Sharia law, then you have a whole bunch of people who are disarm everybody and it's okay not to have guns and don't get angry and, you know, whatever, all these things that people are pushing. This other group's not going to care about any of that. The other group instead is going to take control. Yeah. But I find it interesting that this whole march today, it marches. All right. So like in California, you had a bunch of Hollywood stars who bust people in to march. Some of the people said they didn't even know why they were there. And then they were told last second it was going to be, you know, for guns, gun control. So I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, you want to pipe people in as they're pushing the agenda. These Hollywood stars, they're all part of that machine. Whether they know it or not, do you think they know it? Or do you think that at some point they've been sold this story and they believe in it to the point where, you know, yeah, okay, I'm George Clooney, and, you know, he made a statement saying that you're making me proud of my country again. You know, so here he is putting down Trump, putting down people who voted for Trump. He's called people who voted for Trump names. He's done all these things. These kids in schools across the country are being manipulated into pushing the agenda for the machine. So let's talk contrast. There's a teacher out in California who got fired, a social studies teacher, because he suggested that people do a march or a walk out of schools, as they did last week, for abortion. He got fired straight away, gone. So now one of the students is organizing a walkout for abortion. Hollywood stars aren't going to get behind that. You're not going to see the big liberals get behind that because they want abortion. They don't think it's murder. But I've had this debate with many people, and I shut down the debate every time because they're like, well, it's not murder. It's not murder. It's not a person yet or whatever. And I say, but you're denying that being life, that abortion is denying them life. Plain and simple. You're taking an action to stop something from happening. Stop somebody from being. Stop a person from living their entire life full of all the pain, the pleasure, the memories, everything. You know? Denying them the right of love, of passion, everything. So there are women out there that use abortion like birth control. They go out and have an abortion or whatever. So, you know, it's a tough issue because it's politicized, you know, and also there's so many gray areas that to make laws against abortion is very difficult, if not impossible. And then the people that want to make laws against abortion don't want to make laws against abortion. They want people to be more responsible. And there's so many ways to avoid having a baby these days. It comes down to responsibility, right? But man, oh man, you try to tell one of these crazy libs that stuff, and they go off the wall because they feel like it's a personal attack against them. You know, a lot of these women over 50 can't even have a baby. And they're saying, oh, you know, you should have abortion or whatever. It's very difficult to navigate around certain issues. So, but to me, it's all cut and dry. You can talk to me about any subject, and you're not going to be able to argue with me. Because what I'm going to say is just the truth of it. You can't argue with the truth, you know. You can ignore the truth. You can look the other way and ignore the truth. Sure. People do it all the time. They live in fantasy land. I see it all the time. The people that supported Hillary Clinton, really? Fantasy land. And then when people start bitching to me about Trump, I don't like that guy. I think he's a huge pig. Oh, guess what? These porno stars coming out saying that he had sex with them. Yeah, of course he did. He's a huge pig. I think where I'm at, when it comes to Donald Trump, he proved me right. He proved me right that it's a system about money, fear, loathing, and power. And that's how he got in office. And that's how Hillary lost. Because she was exposed as the lying pig that she is. Okay, she's not a pig, too. Have you ever heard how Hillary talks to people, including the state troopers who actually worked for her and protected her and the stuff that she would say to people? She's a mean, nasty piece of work. You should be thankful she's not the president. And all this debauchery, all these terrible things wouldn't even be coming out right now because it would have been all buried and she'd be funneling millions of bucks into the Clinton, into the Clinton Foundation, and Chelsea would be getting ready to follow in her footsteps. Trump put an end to all of that. So if you're going to thank him for anything, thank him for that. Thank him for putting an end to the Clinton dynasty. And yeah, Chelsea could do stuff, maybe, I don't know. She's fundamentally unlikable. You know, Hillary, I think, did everybody in. This sour grapes tour that she's on, you know, yelling and screaming and blood clot crying about losing, is all that. Do I care if Trump goes to McDonald's and gorges on disgusting McDonald's? No. Do I care if Trump had sex with hookers? No. Do I care if Trump was at Playboy models? I looked at that girl. I looked at her, man, and I'm thinking the whole time, why would she ever want to be with Trump? And you know why? Because of money and power. And that's why that girl was naked in Playboy. That's why she went to all those parties meeting rich men and then, you know, using her looks to manipulate rich men. It goes both ways. You know, these Hollywood, you know, Harvey Weinsteins and whatever. How about I give you a for instance? And I don't like Harvey Weinstein. I think he's disgusting. But I'll give you a for instance when it comes to people, men and women. Let's say I'm a Hollywood producer, right? Casting couch. You're a beautiful girl. Decent. Inside now. Beauty's on the inside. Inside out beauty, right? You're coming in. You want a job in this movie or this TV show or whatever. You're willing to have sex for it. The girl knows that. The one going in, who's showing her boobs, wearing a really short skirt, you know, showing herself off sexually, right? And I don't want to hear that crap. I can dress like this if I want. I can dress like this. Dressing like this does not make me a slut. Really? So, okay, I'm going to put on a fireman's costume outfit, right? Fireman hat, coat, fireman boots. And then I'm going to sit outside your burning ass house. And you're going to come right outside and go, help me, help me, help me, fireman. And my house is burned down. And I'll say, well, just because I'm dressed like this does not make me a fireman. Does that sound crazy? All right, so you're not a slut, but you're definitely wearing a slut's uniform, you know? And then there's a way of having self-respect. I mean, the guys that I know that respect women don't date girls with their boobs hanging out, all that, because they date women that have enough confidence that they know to themselves they don't need to put things on display. Right? That's sexy. Intelligence, how people hold themselves. You know who's sexy? Melania Trump is sexy. That's a beautiful, sexy woman. I love the way she holds herself. I love the way that she puts herself together. She, you know, the whole bit, man. We haven't had a first lady in a long time that could even come close to doing that. And then also being intelligent, you know, being, you know, responsive to issues. You see her out there. And it's not just the White House sending her around to do whatever. And I hope she divorces Trump. You know what? I would love to see a White House divorce, man. That would be the icing on the cake of this whole three-ring circus. That's the peanuts and the clown shows coming. A White House divorce. Because Melania can leave with, she has little billion, right? I know his name is Barron. I call him Billion because in her mind, his name is Billion. She looks at Barron and she sees Billion. Little Billion because she wanted to have a kid. Good. So do you think that, let's get off of Trump, do you think that if a woman goes into an interview and knows that she's going to use her sexuality to manipulate people. And I know that women have done this with police officers getting pulled over. I know that women have done this going to court and with a judge. I know people, that women that have used their sexuality for money, for favors, for stuff. Call it what you will, but people have done it. So that manipulation can go as a two-way street. So yeah, you can go to a gross Harvey Weinstein, and then he can say, hey, give me a massage or whatever. A lot of those women are happy to do it because they want a part in that movie. Is it right? Of course not. It's not right. Not right for him, not right for them, because it sets precedent. And not every female and not every male is going to be like that. But people get lumped into situations, and now males are being lumped in all together as a bunch of pigs. And then it's all anti-male, anti-white male, anti-everything. But it's not just whites. Black males and Spanish males and Asian males, if you're a male, if you have a penis, we're a target by the feminist machine that's out there rolling along that would like to put an end to the penis. Look at these college courses against men, a lot of some of them now, against whiteness. Can you imagine that? Talk about racist. Racist bunch, what's racist hypocrites? You know, sexist, racist hypocrites. But they're out there, and they're doing it, aren't they? White House divorce would be amazing. This is a reality show you can't even pay for, man, even though we are. It's our tax dollars. But I don't have a problem with the way the government's being run right now, and I'm happy that we're away from Barack Obama, because he really hurt this country in so many ways. And I don't care what people say about, you know, he did this and he did that. They're all lies. When I ask the people who say that to prove it, they can't. It's just a line that they hear on Facebook or social media from somebody else who made all these things up. Scandal-free administration? Barack Obama? When? You know? The only thing I'll agree on is that he probably didn't cheat on his wife. And she would cut his penis off and put it in a jar and put it up on a shelf in her bathroom. You think Michelle? Look at her eyes, man. She's a demon. You think that woman wouldn't think twice before cutting off his nads and kicking her out of the floor? Secret Service try to run around, grab those nads, put them back on. Nope. There are some women that you just don't cheat on. And that's gospel. There's a lot of guys out there shaking their heads, yes. There's a lot of women out there shaking their heads, yes, that's right. I'll say this, I've never cheated on anybody that I was ever with seriously, man. Any relationship I was ever in, I've never cheated on anyone. Because with me, why bother? Why bother? If you're in a relationship, you're in it. If you're not, you're not. It's that simple. If you want to go date, stay single. You know, you got your freedom, you can date who you want, and just beware that you don't get a baby out of deal or end up with someone that, and you start making their car payments for them, you know, or helping them with their mortgage payments. You don't want to do any of that, you know? Maybe pay for dinner once in a while, or better yet, cook dinner. It's more impressive, I think. I like to cook, and I can cook good stuff. I can cook better than the restaurants that are around. And I feel like if you cook for someone and do something like that, make plus the dessert, whatever, people are appreciative, man. The restaurants are nice too. But watch out for that machine, because the machine's out there. And there's it rolls on. And so, okay, the kids and the gun control, they're scared. And they're being manipulated and used, you know. And then I was watching The Five. I don't like The Five. My dog likes The Five, so I put it on for her. You know, I don't know what she gets out of it. Lately, she's been facing away from it. I don't like watch TV to begin with, but no, Greg Gutfeld's all right. He's a freak. And they all got their opinions. But I'll tell you this. they were talking about the walkout and these kids were being manipulated, and they all kind of felt like, no, it's real. And I'll tell you, it's both right. One, it's real because the emotion is real because it's a real incident that happened. But number two, it's an agenda pushed by the machine. And the machine comes right along and picks up this new situation and uses it to go further. It's like a football game. And they come along and they pick up the ball and they run further and see how far they can get, see what people are willing to give up. So, and I know, I've been to gun shows in Ohio, places like that, back when I was really into collecting firearms. And yeah, man, there's people that sell stuff out of their van that will pull you aside. No paperwork, no nothing. You just get money and you can walk away with that firearm. I think that stuff should be registered. I think that we should have, a civil defense we can rely on in this country again, because that was important. People, I think, don't understand the importance of that for any reason. Let me tell you, if a disaster happens, any disaster, it could be a storm, it could be anything, you want to be organized. And if your block is organized and your town is organized and then your county and your state, when stuff happens, it lessens the damage of that happening. You get it? So really important to pay attention to the details in that and be as organized as possible, right? But disarming people, it'll never happen. Maybe generations from now, because this young generation doesn't like guns. These kids who walk down the street, they don't like guns. They're afraid of them. They were taught to be afraid of them because of the education system. My friend down there who pulled her gun out and fired in the air with this dude, she was raised with guns. It's a natural, normal thing. She's not going to go out and rob a 7-Eleven. She's not going to go out and shoot some rival gang members. She's not going to go out into a school and start shooting the school up. She's going to protect herself and her daughter, her family, right? Her livelihood, her business, her life. Whether it's a woman, a male, don't matter. You should be able to defend yourselves, you know? And also, lock your damn doors. Make sure people can't get into your garage. You know, there's a lot of stuff you got to think about. Really, a lot of stuff when it comes to protecting yourself. But imagine criminals out there who buy illegal guns, no waiting period, no nothing, get whatever they want, cheap, cheap, cheap. And they know that you're disarmed. They know you can't defend yourselves. Who's to stop them from coming in your house, busting down the door, breaking the window, and coming in and sticking that gun in your face, and they know that you're not armed unless you have an illegal gun. You know, and there's a lot of people out there that have guns from their families passed down generations. Do you think these families would give up their guns? Of course not. They would become criminals because those would be illegal guns. They get grandfathered in, but then they're still out there. It's a kind of a Pandora's box in the world. Like nuclear weapons. And the bitch of it is, the core inside of me, just me, and you don't have to agree, you don't have to disagree, the world that I would like to live in is a world of no pain, no violence, you know, a world of love and caring and kindness. And that kind of a world, people can evolve, you know, and go as far as they want to go without worrying about trivial things, you know, without worrying about or serious things like losing your life to some psycho or some criminal. You got to put the criminals where they belong, and then you can't sit there and let them out. So I can look at our society and show you where we fail in all kinds of places, and it's the people that we elect. When I hear these people out there, the Chuck Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's, I love listening to Chuck Schumer talk about not enough diversity, that there's not enough diversity in Congress, in the Senate. Because he's a white man. So why is it that you have white Nancy Pelosi, white Chuck Schumer, both of them very wealthy, talking about diversity? Where is the diversity? Maybe they should give up their jobs and put some people of color in, get more diversity, right? So Congress, you know what? They voted through this big omnibus spending bill, $1.3 trillion. And the funny thing is, they did it. They both got together, Republicans and Democrats, reached across the aisle, they worked together. This bill has more gluttonous spending than most others I've ever seen. There's hundreds of millions of bucks going for ridiculous things. There's millions of bucks, $8 million to promote breastfeeding. Promote breastfeeding? I think that, you know what, when I see a drug commercial, I think that it doesn't apply to me, number one. It doesn't apply. Most drug commercials don't apply to most people. So you often wonder why they're even on there, why they waste their time putting it out there. And if you have a condition, you feel, all right, let's say I got a pain over here, over there. I'm going to go to my doctor, right? Doctor's going to say, well, you've got blah, 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 itis. And you need to solve it with blah, 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 you know, myosin, whatever. Okay. They give you an idea of what drugs are out there. So, no advertising involved, none of that stuff. You go to your doctor prescribes you something. Then you go to your pharmacist. Now, the pharmacist knows way more about drugs than the doctor ever will. You can ask your pharmacist any question about drugs, and they're going to tell you all the stuff, side effects, anything you possibly have, and other drugs that might be beneficial that you might suggest to your doctor. Again, no advertising. No one's putting an ad in your face and saying, hey, buy this. But the drug commercials, I kind of feel like they're useless. And there's a lot of stuff out there that's like that. You know, when you say I'm going to put $8 million on, you know, promoting breastfeeding, or $4 million, you know, about alcoholism, I think that, you know, there's treatment centers when it comes to alcoholism. You know, I don't think anybody watching a commercial ever makes a decision that's going to affect their life or change their lives, you know. I used to stay up all night long. I still do. I'm a nighttime person. And I see these, if I ever put TV on, it's all about these crazy infomercials or you know, like these, I don't know, commercials for old people, I guess. The drug commercial, losing your hair, anything that when you get above 50, I think, the downhill slide that is going to be those commercials, right? And they're kind of depressing as you sit there listening to them. But no commercial has ever made me go buy anything. You know, when I buy something, it comes out of necessity. Ooh, I'm hungry. I'm going to go buy some food, you know? Ooh, my gas is going in my car. I need to fill it up. I'm going to go to the gas station, buy some gas. It's necessity, you know? Ooh, I need to clothe myself. I'm going to buy some clothes. I'm not going to look for ads, and I'm not going to do that. Coupons, I try to use coupons. I really do. I will take the coupon book. I will look at the coupons. I will clip the coupons out. I'll put them together in a nice little stack. And then I leave them home when I go shopping. And I'm like, oh, damn it. Then 3 weeks later, I'm looking through the coupons. Like, oh, man, I could have used this. And I throw out the old ones, and I clip out the new ones. So for me, I can't complete the process. I can clip, I can look, I can browse, I can stack. I just can't bring them to the goddamn store. Now the dude at one of my local stores, BJ, said, well, you can go online and then, you know, put the coupon in, and it'll take it off my bill or whatever refund. But it's too complicated. I want it simple. I won't do anything complicated. When people say go online and do it, yeah, sometimes it's easy. I do a lot of shopping online, but I'm simple. I don't want complicated. I want it simple. If I have to, you know, you ever go to these websites that you try to buy something, and most of them do it, they want you to join. They want you to have a, you know, log in and have a profile and do all that. I'm just trying to buy some stuff, right? I'm trying to buy some stuff. I don't want to be a member. I don't want to join. I don't want to log on. I don't want an account. No, you have to sign up for an account. Then I'm not going to buy your crap. I'm going to look somewhere else where I can get some other crap somewhere and then look for no tax and free shipping and not have an account. But either way, they screw you, don't you? Don't they? Because you look at something, let's say you're researching tires for your car, or women, you know, like shoes. Look at their shoes. Then you go on your Facebook and you see the ad on the side on the Facebook, the very same thing that you were just looking at. And you're like, these people are trapping me, man. And I don't like that. I really don't like that. And they all do it. You know, I order pet food online. Every website, I'm going to Google, Facebook, all these different websites. And there's that ad, the very same thing I was looking at. And it's like they're following me, man. You know, that's an infringement of my rights. So then they say, well, because Facebook's in trouble for this now. Facebook is in big trouble with another company who, you know, they took the information of 50 million Facebook users and they data mined, they used that information against those people for advertising purposes. Now, Facebook's in big trouble. That other company's in trouble. Everybody's in trouble, right? And Zuckerberg is testifying. And he lies when he says he cares about people and whatever. And, you know, he feels sorry for what happened. No, he's just sorry that he got caught. Because when they say you can go into your privacy on Facebook or other social media in your account, and you can click off all the boxes about sharing your information, which can be complicated because there's also advanced options. See, and that's me. I go as far as I can go in a program. I go into the advanced options because I don't care if something's complicated when it comes to that because it's my privacy. I don't feel like it's a waste of time if it's something that I use, right? But I have all the privacies in place, okay, on Facebook. But yet it still happens. And same for Google. You know, now on Google Chrome, because I don't use Explorer anymore. Explorer is horrible. It's crap. It's slow. It's terrible. It crashes all the time. I use Google Chrome, but you're still using Google Chrome. On my phone, I use Firefox. But Google Chrome, okay, has an incognito type of search thing where they're not supposed to track you. That's bullcrap. Incognito my ass. I feel like when you click on that, they especially track you, you know? But still, it doesn't matter what you use because you do the searches for these things and those products come up because they are targeting you. And that's what Facebook does, Google, all these companies are doing the same thing. And they were allowed under Barack Obama and George Bush Jr. allowed to go hog wild more under Obama because under Bush, you know, the internet was just starting up. It was getting out there. It was kind of this, that, whatever. Then under Obama, it exploded, of course, because more people use it. Maybe people have smartphones or they have it in their hand, whatever. People are in demand. And that's what we got. You're being tracked. And nobody gave them permission to track you because they're manipulating your privacy, you know? And it makes you not want to look for stuff online. It's all a really weird world. And it doesn't even matter if you go, let's say you go into Best Buy, into their website specifically. Not just go on Google into a search or some other search engine. I'm saying the website Best Buy specifically. You would think that what you're looking at in that website is secure, that nobody knows what you're doing. It doesn't matter. Because whatever products you look at in Best Buy or Target or Walmart or whatever site you're going into, that information gets shared. And then when you're on your Facebook, or you're at YouTube or whatever you're doing, those ads end up popping up. You see those ads, the very same thing that you were searching for. And I got a thing now, since I don't want to see, you know, tires and you know, pet supplies popping up on my screen, I do a quick search for lingerie before I sign off. And then when I sign on, all these little ads pop up are people wearing lingerie. See? It's kind of a piggish way to solve the problem, you know? So, talking about pig, yeah, man. The media making a big deal out of Trump being a pig, that is nothing new. If they think that's something new, that I don't know where their heads are at. But do I think Trump did it with Stormy Daniels and this big deal? Well, yeah, of course. There's going to be a whole bunch more coming out. And I think Melania is too good for him. You know what? She should take off, divorce that sucker, leave him in the White House unto himself. He didn't love her anyway, you know? He treats her like a product. You know what I mean? Like an asset. Like he owns her. I guess he does in a way. So, yeah, I'm not happy about any of that. But like I said earlier in the show, you're not going to be able to give me information about Trump. It's going to make him a better person in my eyes. I think he is what he is, you know? And it doesn't seem like the Democrats have anybody that with any juice that's going to go up against Trump and unseat him. They're talking about Oprah, right? And we'll see what happens there. So that would be Clash of the Titans, man. That would be, aside from a White House divorce, that's something else. That would be something else. And I don't know. We haven't had somebody single in the White House in a long time. Long, long, long time. But I think that would be very, very interesting. And, yeah, maybe in my little bag of stuff I'd like to see that's in there. But whatever. I'll let you guys think about all of that this week. So, as always, tune in to Discovery Paranormal every Tuesday night on the United Public Radio Network, talking about everything paranormal. Last time, talked about soulmates. This time, is anybody's guess, man. There's actually a lot going on with military UFO, you know, discoveries, I guess, and more information coming out, more video coming out, which makes it more believable for a lot of people who are disbelievers or unbelievers or whatever, disbelievers, whatever. Maybe something like that. And, of course, Monday to Friday, the daily update and the daily calendar, talking about your headlines and what's going on and what that daily holiday is. So it's all good on United Public Radio Network. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley live on UPRN, uprntalkradio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 the Pastor Sian, saying have a good weekend.